Welcome to Gemara Markings. Tiur is Gittin Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find in the middle of Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. If you like, you can count 17 lines from the top. The topic that we'll be dealing with, we've included on the side under our Nosei heading, the topic heading, Ezra L'Anashim, offering assistance to people, HaChashudim Ke'ivrei Avera, that are suspect of violating various mitzvahs. For example, Shvius, someone who is suspect of not observing the laws of Shvius, not declaring his produce Hefker. Tevel, people who are suspect of not tithing their produce, and Tuma, people who are not careful in avoiding defilement. The Mishnah. Mash'elis isha l'chaverta ha'chashudo ala shvius. A woman is allowed to loan to her friend that is suspect regarding the laws of Shemitah. Napo kvoro v'rechaim v'tanar. These are different vessels that are used in preparing food. A napa, kvar, these are different types of sieves and sifters. Rechaim, a grinder, and a tanur, an oven. So that even though the woman to whom you are giving these things is possibly going to use it for preparing produce that wasn't used in, let's say, in fulfilling the laws of Shemitah properly, you're allowed to loan these items to her. Avol lo savur velo titchan imo. However, you are not to physically assist her in savur. The vror is to separate the chaff, the waste part of grains from the actual grain. You're not allowed to titchan, is not to grind along with her. Eshes chover. Chover is a person who is diligent when it comes to matters of tithing. So the wife of a chover, mashelis le'eshes amoret, she can loan to the wife of an amoret. It's a woman who is not going, who is not careful in not in tithing. Napo kvora, these different sifting devices, uvoreres v'tochenes umrakedes imo. And this is going to be the source of investigation in the Gemara, because here you're physically allowed to help her in these processes of preparing the food, in boreris, to separate the undesirable part from the from the food part, from the desirable part of the food, and tochenes, grinding with her, and raketes, and sifting with her. So you can physically assist her in these things. Avol mishetatil es hamayim. However, once water is added in the preparation of dough, lo siga imo, then you cannot touch it with her. The eshes chover is not to touch it with her. Lefi she'ein machzikim yidei oivrei avera. We don't want to literally strengthen or assist the hands of sinners. Gemara will explain this in greater detail. Why is the addition of water all of a sudden a problem? V'chulon, let's pick a look, by the way, at Rashi on this. Avol mishetatil es hamayim lo siga lefi she mishet gilgulaha, from the, at the point that the dough is kneaded. Gilgul is to knead dough, and that happens when the water is added. Hutbila, from the word tevel. The word hutbila, tevel, is a reference to something that's not been tithed. Hutbila l'chala. Chala is the dough tithe separated and given to kohanim. At what point does the chala potential arise? When water is added to the dough. The ka, and now you have dough that has the latent challah in it. The ka metame machmas keim tameim, and it will become defiled because you're dealing with a woman who's in the amoretz. She's not diligent in the laws of purity. So the dough, which has the latent challah, having the status of truma, something, a type of tithe that needs to be kept in ritual purity, not defiled, but she has vessels that are tome, v'zumisayata legalgel, and the Eishes Chover, if she would be continuing and assisting her, she'd be helping her in the kneading of the dough, v'osu ligrom tuma lechala, and it's prohibited to cause defilement to the chala. We turn back to the Mishnah, v'chulon lo omru elo mipnei darkei shalom. That which the Mishnah allowed the loaning of vessels to people who are suspect is allowed only because we want to preserve communal tranquility and peace. Umachzikin yidei nochrim b'shvias. When the Shemitah year arrives, the sabbatical year, when agricultural activity is to cease. If, however, you're dealing with non-Jews, you can encourage them in their work. Machzikim yedei has to do with offering them encouragement. As we read the mission itself, the initial impression is to actually assist them, but that's going to be a point of that needs clarification. So, as far as we're concerned, the initial reading of this would be to actually, you can assist them, but bear in mind that that is quite problematic. Even though the Goy himself, the Gentile, is not commanded in the laws of Shemitah, but as a Jew, to help him in agricultural activity will be problematic. So what this really means, we'll have to wait and see. Avol, lo yidei Yisrael, however, to be machzik Yisrael during the Shemitah year in agriculture activity is absolutely forbidden. V'sho'alin b'shloimon mipnei darkei shalom, one is allowed to greet the Gentile using the word shalom. The word shalom is actually a name, one of the different names of the Almighty. So you're in effect placing upon this Gentile the name of the Almighty by saying Shalom Aleichem, by greeting someone with the word Shalom, and one is allowed to do that for maintaining Darkei Shalom, peace and tranquility on a societal level. We have a topic heading on the side. The Nosei reads, Machlokes Abaye v'Rava l'hasbir. We're going to see a disagreement between Abaye and Rava in the explanation of Ha'evdel bein hoda mutu l'sayea l'yeshes amaras. We also say l'chshuda al hashvias. We saw in the Mishnah that it's mutter to assist the Eishes Amoretz, but not one who is suspect with regard to Shemitah. So if you notice in the Mishnah, we had little numbers with triangles. Those numbers are going to be referred to now. The number one with the triangle in the Mishnah said, Lo Savor Velo Sitranima. This was with regard to a woman that is suspect in the laws of Shemitah, having produce that concerning which the laws of Shemitah were not kept. So the Mishnah said you cannot physically assist her in various activities concerning the produce, the separation of the chaff, the residue part of the grains, and you can't grind with her, operate a grinder together with her. And yet, when it came to the woman suspect of not being diligent in tithing, you are allowed to help her out. The Gemara, my shna resha, the little numberings are the numberings that you saw in the Mishnah, so you can refer back. Maishna Reisha Umaishna Seifa. Why in the Reisha do we see Lo Savor a restriction imposed? And in the Seifa, it's the Mishnah said Ubereres V'Tocherenes, making it sound as if the problem of non-tithing is not a problem. Omar Abaye. Abaye is the first of two approaches. He says, regarding the Seifa, regarding what we have listed as number two, Rov Ame Haaretz Ma'asrin Hain. The majority of those that are classified as Ame Haaretz, people that are not knowledgeable, but the majority of them do tithe properly. So once you have a majority that tithe properly, on a Torah level, there's really nothing wrong. So it's true on a rabbinic level, we are nevertheless strict and insist on tithing produce you buy from them. Nevertheless, on a Torah level, there's no problem. And therefore, for Darkei Shalom purposes, for neighborliness and social tranquility, we are lenient. And you can help them out physically, not just loaning them the vessels, but physically help them out in the food activities mentioned above. Rava Omar. Rava does not take that approach. He says that when it comes to the Ame Oretz, it's, as far as we're concerned, it's 50-50. 50% will tithe, 50% not, and you're dealing with a Torah level violation. Not the non-diligence in tithing is a Torah-related matter, and we would not allow you to physically help them out. So then how is it that we do in where the triangle number two appears? So that's because we're dealing with someone that we know, it's muhsik, has the status of being careful with tithing. Why then is the Mishnah calling them an Am Haaretz? We said Eishes Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz meaning someone that's ignorant, that's not diligent. So with regard to what are they called Am Haaretz, if you're saying they do take care of their tithing, so he explains, Rava says, Rava Omar Hocha, in the Seifa, where number two appears in the Mishnah, the Am Haaretz to Rebbe Meir. We're dealing with it. We're mentioning the term Am Haaretz, but it's the term Am Haaretz with regard to Rebbe Meir's use of the word, and that has to do with people that are not extra careful in eating their chulin b'tara. There's no requirement by letter of the law to eat chulin. Chulin is common food, maintaining laws of ritual purity. So on a Torah level, you're dealing with someone that takes care of his tithes, and he eats his food in an okay way. He eats his chulin, but doesn't eat them in purity, in tahara. The tahara, the tumen tahara that we're talking about, as the Gemara says, v'tumo v'tahara d'rabbanan. We're dealing with rabbinic types of tumen tahara. We mentioned already that the necessity of maintaining tahara for chulin is not something that is Torah oriented. It's rabbinic. So that, as we said, we're not dealing with anyone that is engaged in any Torah level violation. And therefore, you can help them out in their food preparation. Now let's continue in the Gemara, Desanya. Ezu Amoretz, who is considered an Amoretz, called She'enu Oichel Chulov B'Tara, Divrei Rebbe Meir. Anyone who doesn't guard his chulin from becoming defiled. The Chachomim Omrim Kol She'enu Ma'asir Peroisov. The Chachomim explain Amoretz, describe an Amoretz as someone like we mentioned before that doesn't tithe with diligence. He's not careful with tithing. If we take a look in Rashi, on the second to last narrow line, Rav Omar Li Oilom Kemechsa Mechsa, when it comes to Amoratzim who aren't careful with tithing, we're not going to say that the majority do tithe, unlike Abaye, but rather 50-50. Misafkinon Lahu, it's 50-50, we have a doubt. the osu l'sayon. And as a result, if you have a doubt concerning someone's diligence in tithing, you cannot help them out in their food preparation. Hayuv aveir d'oraisa, since you're dealing with a Torah level violation. Umas nisin, the Mishnah where we had our number two in the triangle. Bemuchsuk la'aser komo, dealing with someone that is careful with his tithing. The amartz d'Rabbi Meir, who? The reference to amartz in the Mishnah is amartz as Rabbi Meir uses the term. Shechoshud le'chol perois betumo. He is suspect of eating his common food in a state of defilement. The concern of maintaining chulin in a state of tara is only a rabbinic concern. The Torah exhorts one to maintain ritual purity food-wise only with regard to the truma tithe, the tithe that's given to kohanim and kochim and sacrificial food. Hilkoch lav isura doraisa hi. Therefore, we're not dealing with any Torah level issue. Umitnei darkei shalom mutar l'sayon. And in order to preserve neighborliness, you can help them out in their food preparation, even though they're processing chulin that's tomei. The Gemara, however, asks. So we go back to the Gemara text, five lines from the bottom. V'ha midiktoni seifa. In the seifa of the Mishnah, where we have our number three, the triangle three in the Mishnah, it said, "Mishatatil esamayim lo sigaimo." Once water is added to the flour, then you have to desist from assisting her. The water represents, water added to the food represents the, we'll say, the appearance of issues of tumah. Water enables food to become tomei. So the issue of tumah seems to arise only at stage, at where we have state, we'll call it stage three of the Mishnah. Michal de Reisha lav betumah v'tara askinan. It must be then that where we had number two in the Mishnah, where it says you can help her in separating the food from its chaff and grind with her, is not talking about an issue of tumah tara, and hence not like Rava. The Gemara responds, Reisha v'seifa betumah v'tara. The word Reisha, and here by using our Mark Gemaras, you can see clearly that we're referring to Reisha section 2, Seifa section 3, are yes concerned with Tuma and Tara. The Reisha betumas chulin. In the Reisha section 2, we were dealing with Tuma, a woman who is not careful in maintaining Tahara for her common food. The Seifa, when we spoke about adding water to the flour, betumas chala. There, you were dealing with the dough, which had the latent chala tithe in it. That is a Torah level prohibition to metama, to defile challah. So that you're not allowed to physically, to proactively defile it. And that's why we don't want you helping her in that process where you're helping her along with dough that has become tomei. The Gemara asks, V'ramin hu, we raise a seeming contradiction. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Toichanin u'mafkidin eitzel oichle shvias, fi eitzel oichle perusein betuma. You're allowed to grind tvua. Tvua is grind grains that have been properly tithed. And trust, mafkidin, and trust by people that eat shvias, meaning they consume produce that hasn't had the laws of shvias properly observed, and by those you can entrust by people that are oichle perusein betuma, that eat their food in a state of defilement, avol. Loi le oichlei. Now here, one letter makes a very big difference, as opposed to the ratio which spoke about a proper, careful individual doing these things in the domain of the Oichlei Shvius. Here, we're not referring to the careful individual with regard to his own produce, but rather Avolo l'Oichlei Shvius, Avolo l'Oichlei Perusein B'tumah. You're not allowed to help them with their food preparation, not Oichlei Shvius, nor people that eat their fruits B'tumah. Now we've dashed underline which the main section. Here it says you're not allowed to help the Oichlei Perusein B'tumah. And yet in our Mishnah, in section 2, as far as Rava's explanation is concerned, you are allowed to help them out. Omar Abaye Hassam, the source we just read where we saw it's prohibited to help them out, B'kayin echoshud v'echol truma b'tuma askinon. When the source mentioned three lines from the top, just above, we mentioned v'lo l'ochlei perusin b'tuma. We're not talking about eating chulin b'tuma anymore. We're talking about a kohen who is suspect of eating his truma tithe in a state of tuma. Tahavi le'tuma do'iraisa. There already you're getting into a Torah level problem, and people like that, you certainly are not allowed to assist. Well, ihochi mafkidin. In that same source, we saw we have an arrow. You see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. Well, it said in that very source, mafkidin. You can entrust by them. If you're dealing with a kohen who's chashed on achilas truma betuma, what about the resha of that source? The source then is describing my heter of entrusting by them of my food. The ramin who mafkidin truma etzel Yisrael amoretz. You're allowed to entrust your truma by a Yisrael. A Yisrael, he's not. He doesn't. He tithes. He separates truma and gives it away. He doesn't have it. He doesn't maintain it generally in his midst. He's not a regular with it. So you can entrust your truma to a Yisrael Amoretz. V'lo Eitzel Kohen Amoretz. But Neisha Liboy Gaspa. You would not be allowed to entrust truma by a Kohen who's an Amoretz, an ignoramus, because he's a regular with the truma, and he'll touch it. He feels comfortable with truma. He's a kohen, isn't he? And he'll come and touch it and metamid. So that if you want to say that the source above, the top source, is talking about a kohen who's choshed, who's suspect of eating truma in a state of tuma, then how in the world can the resha of that source tell me you can entrust? You can entrust by him. The Gemara answers. Amar Rabbi Loi. You notice we have a new marking, a diamond on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. We have an explanation. Ha Gemara Menase Liyashiv Stirois Bein Mekoros Binyan Hafkodas Peros Etzel Chashudim Shonim. Here we're going to try to resolve what appears to be a contradiction regarding entrusting food by people that are suspect as a result of different issues. So Omar Beloy, Hocha b'may askinon, the source that says you're allowed to entrust by them, Bekli cheres amukav tzomid posil. The food you have placed in an earthenware vessel that has a clay seal upon it. It's a sealed clay cover. There's no chashash, there's no suspicion in a case like that that he will touch it. He will then, which would lead to its defilement. Question: the lechu shemo tasitenu ishtoi nida. Is there not still room to suspect that maybe his menstruant wife, she's a source of tuma? And her mere moving of the vessel, even without the actual touching of the food directly, will result in its contents becoming defiled. So there still is room to suspect. Why then does the source on the top line say you can entrust by them? Elo Omer of Yirmiyot, lo kashya, kan beperos shehuchsheru, Kan beperos shelo hukshuru. Hukshuru is the state of food having come into contact with water. For example, you washed off the fruits. You sprayed them with water for some, let's say, necessary purpose. If the food item has become hukshar, then it's subject to absorbing tuma, to becoming defiled. In a case like that, we will tell you ein mafkidin, you cannot entrust by these suspect individuals. However, if the food has remained dry, it's peros shelo hukshru, so then there's no fear of defilement. You can then entrust by them. V'raminu, we raise what appears to be a contradiction. Hamoylu chitim l'toichin kusi o l'toichin amoretz. By the way, you may have noticed that we've highlighted the term amoretz with a trapezoid in order to enable us to focus on what's really the main point under discussion. The source refers to someone who brings wheat for grinding purposes to a tochen. He's a grinder who's a kusi or an amor. It's a kusi is a member of a group of people that whose conversion to Judaism is highly suspect, and they're not careful with mitzvos, with many mitzvos, including laws of tithing and laws of purity. Or you brought your chitim to a grinder who is an amoretz. Hareilu bechezkoson l'maisu l'shvias avoloi l'tuma. When you get the items back from them, you can assume it's the same stuff you gave to them as far as the need for tithing, i.e. no need for tithing. You tithed already, you got back what you gave him. And shvius, what you gave him, non-shvius produce, you got back what you gave him. You don't have to worry that he switched it for shvius produce that would have been, let's say, usur to cultivate. So as far as meiser is a reference to tithing, and shvius, there's nothing to worry about. Avolo l'tuma means when you get it back from him, you have to suspect maybe he touched it, and therefore you should not entrust by them. So now let's focus on that very last comment. We dashed underline avololot. You cannot rely on the amoretz with regard to tumah. Above, we saw mafkidin. You can entrust by the am ha'oretz. That's supposedly the contradiction. The Gemara says, what's the contradiction though? Hi, my rumia. What's the rumia? What's the contradiction? Lahu kimno, did we not already establish the peros shelo hukshru? That when you see an allowance to entrust by them, that's with reference to fruit, produce that has not had come into contact with water. It's an original dry state. In fact, the resolution of what you pose as a contradiction is so obvious, we ask, Udekori law, my kori law. What was the mindset, what was the intention of the one who raised the question to begin with? Why did he try to ask a question whose answer was so obvious? We've already answered it. The Gemara points out that the reason this source was introduced into the Gemara was not really to raise that contradiction, but rather mishum de kaboy lemirmi achriti Allah. The Gemara had an agenda. It quoted this source, the source we just read, because in quoting it, we give you the basis, or the basis for raising a contradiction upon that source from other sources. And here we go. Hare elu b'chezkoson l'maisu shvius. Notice this is a quote from the source we just read. By the way, we have little arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the text so you can see where this is quoted from. So in the source, we saw that if you bring your produce to the Am Oretz for grinding, and he grinds your grains and you get it back from him, you don't have to worry about any switch around. Therefore, if you gave him tithed grains, you don't have to tithe it again. And if you gave him grains that grew in the other years, not in the non-Shemitah years, what you get back is non-Shemitah, is non-Shavias grain. And hence, it's allowed. It's mutter, it's permissible. Ulechlufi lo chayshinan. And we're not suspect that he, the Amoritz, switched around. For his own stuff. Well, his own stuff. So there is a doubt whether it was tithed. His own stuff. There is doubt whether it's non Shemitah produce. We don't have to worry about it. Ah, no. Veraminu. And now we raise another stira. Now you see a series of triangles on the side of the under the Nosei / Mivne heading. Makoros. The one will be presenting a number of sources. Makoros. Shemalamdin that teaches the Yesh Lachsha Sham Oretz Yachlif Amozan Shemufkad Etzloi. That when you entrust your food to an Ama Oretz, to an ignoramus, he will switch it. And Vitzor Hamafki Lafrish Meister's Od Pam. And as a result of his switching it, he takes your stuff and then gives you his stuff. His stuff wasn't necessarily tithed, and you'll have to tithe again. So here we have a problem, and let's see the source. Veraminu hanoisein lachamoisoi, person gives some dough to his mother-in-law. The owner of the dough is a chaver. He is a trustworthy, a diligent individual. He gives it to his mother-in-law, who is an am haaretz. So what is the law if you do that, if you give her your dough to prepare? Me'aser es shuno sein law. You'll have to tithe that which you give to her. Make sure you tithe it before you give to her. Ve'es shuno telimena, and that which you receive in return from her. Ne'e shechashuda machlefes ha'miskalkel. She is suspect of switching around, taking the less quality and giving you better other stuff of good quality, better quality. So you have to tithe that which before you give to her, because she's going to end up keeping it. And if you don't tithe it, you're going to end up feeding someone's produce that hasn't been tithed, which is not allowed. You can't feed people. You can't present to people untithed stuff. And naturally, that which you get from her, since she's suspect of switching it, so she switched it for her own stuff that hasn't been tithed. She's an Amoretz, as we explained. Well, do you see then very clearly that when you're dealing with an Amoretz, you cannot assume that it's what you gave them when they give back to you? The Gemara says that's not really a question. Hasam kidekotoni taima. The Gemara says that case with the mother-in-law, there is a built-in reason why there's suspicion, but not in general. What's the reason? Omer of Yehuda, roitzihi betakonas bita uboisha mechasona. You're dealing with his mother-in-law. The mother-in-law is interested in making sure her daughter gets the very best, so that if the quality of the dough that she got from her son-in-law was, let's say, not the best quality, she wants her daughter, who's married to this man, obviously, to have good stuff. So she gives she gives back to him better stuff, and she's embarrassed from her son-in-law, meaning that when she gives back the baked goods, she wants to make a good impression. She does. She would be embarrassed to give him something that's of lesser quality. So that's a consideration only in that case with the mother-in-law. But in general, when you're dealing with strangers, there is no reason to suspect switch around. The Gemara asks, "Ula alma lo chayshinan?" And in general, no. V'hotnan. Again, a question. Hanoisin lepundokis. Pundokis is a woman who takes care of an inn. It's a temporary lodging facility, and she is an Am Haaretz. Here is a Talmud, a yeshiva student, who stays in this inn. Hanoisin lepundokis maaser eshuno seinlo veshuno tel heimeno. Same thing as we said above. He, this yeshiva student, has to tithe that which he gives her, and that which he gets in return from her, he has to tithe as well. what the yeshiva student gave to her is he gave to her some dough that he brought from home that she should bake for him. Well, what did we see? We see here it's a non-mother-in-law case, and it's a switch-around problem. The Gemara says, once again, that is different. That's a unique case. In what sense? Hasamira, she rationalizes her behavior. The Omra, and she says to herself, Bar Bei Rav, Lechul Chamimo, Vanaya Echol Kariro. The yeshiva student, let him eat the fresh stuff, the warm stuff, and I'll eat the cold stuff. That's a literal translation, but the indication is that the Pundukis, even though she's not a knowledgeable person, but she has respect for yeshiva, for Torah scholars, and therefore she's interested in making sure the Torah scholar gets the best quality stuff. And if that's the case, if she feels that what she has is better quality, she'll switch it around. But once again, that's a unique situation. That's an innkeeper that wants to treat the yeshiva student, the Torah scholar, in the best way in her mind. But in general, you don't have to worry about switching around. Va'akati le'alma lo chashinon, and still, in general, you don't have to worry about switch around. V'ha'tanya. Once again, we have another source. You'll notice this source goes to the top of Samach Beis Amud Aleph. It says, Eishes chover techenes im eishes amoretz. Eishes chover, we've described earlier, is a woman who's careful in tithing, in laws of purity. She can grind along with the woman who is an amoretz. Bizman shehi temeo. When she, the Eishes chover, is in a state of defilement. A woman, for example, is every month she has a female cycle. During that cycle, she is defiled. So in her state of defilement, she can work alongside with the Eishes Amoretz. We take a look at the Rashi, second line from the bottom. Bizman shi tamea, Eishes chover, dekeva dimei tumo, eno regilo liga bataros. When she is herself in a state of ritual defilement, she doesn't touch things that are tohor. So lo chayshinon shemo titol v'titein l'soich pio. We're not worried that she might take from the food that she's working on and eating it. We continue in the source. Aval lo bizman shi torah. The Eishes chover, when she herself is tohor, and at that she eats what is around her, she cannot help the Eishes Amoretz in her grinding. Reb Shimon ben Elozer Oimer, Af Bizman Shi Tameo Lo Sitchoin, even when she is defiled, she shall not help the Eishes Amoretz in her grinding. But Nei Shechaverta, we continue at the top of Samach Beis Amud Aleph, Noisenes Lo V'Ocheles. True, she might not take on her own, but the Amoretz, the Eishes Amoretz, will take from her own food that's being worked on and give to the Eishes Chover. And the stuff that the Amoretz gives to the Chover is stuff that has potential problems in it. Certainly issue of, what has it been tithed? Possible concern regarding Tuma. On the top line in Rashi, we see on the top of Samach Beis Amud Aleph, Alma, we see Rashi says, "Noisenes lo alma chashude Eishes Amoretz lignoiv mishel baila v'litein lechaverta." So we see that the Eishes Amoretz will steal from her husband's stuff. A woman in her own house she has rights, of course, to eat. That's obvious. But the stuff belongs to her husband. As far as outsiders are concerned, who says that her husband approves of the wife giving to outsiders his food? Well, she's suspect of that. And the Gemara continues, Hashta Mignev Ganva, here she'll go out, it's called outright theft, Chilufi Ka Michlefa, Lo Michlefa, would she not switch around? When you're dealing with Amoratzim, they are suspect of switching around. So if you entrust something to them, they'll switch it around and you're getting back stuff that hasn't been tied. Not so, more answers. This is not a question in general. Amar of Yosef Hasam Nami, in that case where the Eishes Am Horetz is being assisted by the Eishes Chaver, Mirv Amar, the Eishes Am Horetz rationalizes and says, Tura midishe ka'ochil. This is an analogy, it's an example. Tura is an ox. An ox, is it not so that an ox eats from the grains that it is threshing? Certainly this woman, this Eishes Chaver, came to help me out. Does she not deserve to eat from the stuff that she's working on? So in a case like that, we say that there's this tendency for the Eishes Amoretz to give, to steal her husband's stuff. But that's only because you have this situation where the Eishes Chaver is actively assisting her. But if someone comes in and entrusts his food to an Amoretz, and he's not helping the Amoretz will give back to the Chaver that entrusted his food, the trustworthy person that entrusted, will give back exactly what he received. No reason to suspect switch around. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.